You're listening to The Jake Asmon Show, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Jake Asmon.
We move along right here on The Jake Asmon Show, SB Nation Radio. We head out now to our progressive guest line to bring on our next guest. He recently made the move, leaving Fox to go to Outkick.com. Jason Whitlock is our guest, and he joins us now. Jason, appreciate the time, and congratulations on the new opportunity with Outkick.
Hey, appreciate you having me on and appreciate having this discussion.
Absolutely. So let me ask you, you had a huge platform at Fox Sports. You had your own show at, on FS1. Why the decision to leave and take your talents over to Outkick?
Well, I think there's a lot of pressure in corporate media, to be honest with you, to conform to the social media narrative. And I think anybody that's followed my work and my voice for any length of time knows that I'm not willing to conform to anybody's narrative. And so I just felt like in order for me to stay on brand, to remain outspoken, to be able to say what I truly think in this time of racial unrest in America, I thought it was better to be on a platform that I controlled and had an ownership stake in. I thought that gave me the most freedom. And then, just quite honestly, too, it was an economic decision. I just think the most upside economically for media people right now is creating and owning their own platforms. If you look at what Joe Rogan has accomplished with his podcast, or you look at Bill Simmons with The Ringer, or Dave Portnoy with Barstool, the most financial upside is in ownership and having a platform that you can control and be your authentic self at all times. And so I think it was just, you know, those two deals in terms of wanting to be able to say exactly what I thought without any pressure to conform. And I just think this is the best opportunity to maximize myself financially.
Jason Whitlock with us here on the Jake Asmon Show. You know, to your point about, you know, getting a chance to say what you want to say and not have to worry about corporate background and being pushed in different directions. I have really enjoyed your commentary just about Twitter in general. I know Clay Travis, your partner at Outkick, has talked about this a lot, that it just feels like Twitter is not an accurate representation of what the vast majority of people feel. And I've really appreciated you guys at Outkick, you know, really being able to call that out and say, hey, Twitter is not always the most accurate representation of, you know, a certain, you know, feeling people may have on a various topic.
That has certainly been the case, I think, and it's certainly been my argument for years that Twitter's not a reflection of America. But it's funny, I wrote a column yesterday about DeSean Jackson and Steven Jackson, and I kind of have had to pivot because I think that this COVID lockdown and so many people jobless, at home, frustrated, interpreting the world through their laptops, through their smartphones, through print publications, and all this stuff is rigged to please social media apps. And so when we're having less human interactions, you know, we're no longer interacting with people with handshakes, hugs, we're wearing masks so you can't see people smiling, more and more of us are interpreting the world through our social media feeds. And right now, if you look at what's going on in America and all the racial tension, it looks a lot like Twitter, unfortunately. That none of that is a good thing, but that's where we're at right now. We look like Twitter, and Twitter is one of the most racially polarizing, negative, toxic places, I think, on the planet, and that's what we have going on across America. It's just really sad that, and I call social media, Twitter, the Matrix, and the Matrix is starting to become our reality.
Jason Whitlock with us here on our Progressive Guest Line as we talk with the new member of the Outkick team. You can, of course, follow Jason on Twitter, at Whitlock Jason. You know, let me ask you about the comments that Steven Jackson made, of course, defending some of the commentary we saw from DeSean Jackson. We know DeSean has apologized, but Steven Jackson has doubled and in some cases really tripled down on some of the anti-Semitic rhetoric. What do you make of his commentary? Where should this story really go from here?
Well, what I wrote about is I'm not going to attack Steven Jackson or DeSean Jackson that strongly. What they did was wrong. But I think they're mimicking the behavior that is being rewarded right now by the mainstream media. Again, going racial demagoguery is being rewarded across these social media platforms and within the mainstream media. Everybody in the mainstream media, cable news networks, print publications, are out demonizing racial groups, and in particular the white male racial group, and we're making really strong generalizations. All NFL owners are racist. You know, every action that happens between a white and a black person is motivated by race. I just think DeSean Jackson and Steven Jackson are reflecting what we seem to be rewarding and promoting right now, and that's racial demagoguery. And so I can't blame them. If we're going to reward it, let's don't be shocked that people fall into it.
Do you think sports could still help improve race relations, or are we at a point now where we are just so divided and sports has seemingly contributed to some of that divide that not even sports, which used to be something that would unite us all, could still do that?
I'm concerned that it won't play that role anymore in America because the athletes and the sports leagues have all swallowed the Black Lives Matter narrative, which is a promotion of racial demagoguery. And so I see the athletes using their social media influence and where we're at right now, where everybody's in fear of being racially denigrated or demonized, that they're using that influence to bring this racial polarization and this one-sided conversation. If you don't support Black Lives Matter, you're racist. If you don't support the narrative that the police are out racially killing black men, then you're racist and need to be removed from society. All of that stuff is just, it's inaccurate, it's inappropriate, it's a dumbing down of very complex issues. I tried to explain in my column about Steven Jackson and DeSean Jackson. Look, man, I think there's plenty of evidence that shows Derek Chauvin, the police officer in Minneapolis who killed George Floyd, that was an abuse of power. There's no proof that it was motivated by race. That looked to me like a police officer drunk on his power, abusing his power, who has gotten accustomed to using that kind of force and abuse on criminal suspects. There's no proof that he was motivated by race. None. We just assume it and we just assign it. And this is all inappropriate. There are countless examples of police officers abusing, killing inappropriately white people. These things need to be discussed in a more nuanced, a more unifying, a more inclusive fashion than what we're doing. We're just falling into this demonization, and everybody's a bad person, and everybody must be canceled. It's unhealthy for America.
Well said. Jason Whitlock with us here on the Jake Asman Show. You know, that all being said, some interesting sports stuff that's come out in the last couple of days has been the report that the NFL might allow each team to play the black national anthem before games. Do you think that is something that should be allowed? What's your take on the whole national anthem controversy?
I think it could be a death knell for the NFL, or it could do some real damage, because you can't have everyone standing for the so-called black national anthem, lift every voice and sing, great song, or you played it, sung it when I was a kid, but you can't have everyone standing for that and then have the majority of people take a knee when the real American national anthem comes on. If that happens, that will be the major jump the shark moment for the NFL, a major moment when a lot of their traditional fans just say, look, I've had it. I don't want to have millionaire, pampered, spoiled athletes, unsophisticated athletes, wagging a finger at me, telling me I'm racist, telling me this country's racist and oppressive, when these guys are making millions of dollars and, you know, have benefited from a system that is more fair than any other system in the world. I just see a lot of people walking away from football at that point, and I wouldn't blame them.
Is there hypocrisy in the NBA then allowing players to put social justice phrases or some sort of message on the back of their jerseys? Is there hypocrisy there as well?
I think that it's probably not healthy, just because when people have a global perspective and a historical perspective and they understand political ideologies, what's being embraced with all these slogans is just typical communist propaganda. Slogans were, that's Fidel Castro in Cuba and how they operated. Give the people slogans, but we're not going to give them real justice. And so if this whole equality and what a slogan, let's put it on a T-shirt, all of this comes from the Soviet Union, communist, so before the fall, communist-run Soviet Union. This is all part of a propaganda campaign that stems from that. It's hard for anybody. Well, who's against equality? No one's against equality. But don't hand me some useless gesture and slogan. Hand me a job and an opportunity to take care of myself. That's what people need, not slogans.
Jason Whitlock with us here on the Jake Asman Show. Of course, you can read all his work and check out his content at outkick.com. Final question for me, Jason. It's about Colin Kaepernick. You've been very outspoken about his movement and what he has done away from the field the last 4 years. I've argued on my show for a long time that I'm just not fully convinced he actually wants to play football. Where do you stand with Colin Kaepernick? Do you think he's ever going to play in the league again?
No, he does not want to play football, and he hasn't wanted to play football since he started taking a knee. There's all different kinds of ways to retire, quit the sport, and that's what Colin Kaepernick has done and has been doing. If the guy really wanted to play, he would have showed up appropriately dressed and participated in that workout Roger Goodell arranged for him in about 25 teams. He wants to be a martyr. He thinks there's more value in being a martyr. The hard work of being a great player in the NFL, too much for him. And so he chose being a martyr and has no interest in really playing football. He just wants to be a useful tool in the denigration and destruction of football. He's a scorned ex-lover.
Jason, congratulations on all your success. Welcome to Outkick. It's been great reading some of your columns so far, and I certainly look forward to getting you back on the show and continue to have this conversation.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.